Well, good evening. For those of you who usually come here on Wednesday night, but not Sunday, this is a little different, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little bit different. That's okay. This is a little bit what Sunday mornings look like. And I want you to know that you're always welcomed here on Sunday mornings, too. For those of you who normally come on Sundays, but not Wednesday night, you probably see some new faces, some people you're not used to seeing. That's awesome, too. You're welcomed on Wednesday night. So it's just glad, it's fun to have everybody together, isn't it? I love this. Well, tonight is Ash Wednesday. It's the first day in the season of Lent, which is the 40 days, not counting Sundays, I don't want to get too technical, but the 40 days leading up to Easter. Easter is, of course, the biggest holiday in the Christian world, when we celebrate Jesus' death, burial, but primarily his resurrection, that he came back from the dead, so that in him we can have everlasting life. So the season of Lent, in preparation for that, is this 40-day period when we do two things, particularly, we repent of our sins and we fast. Sounds like fun, right? Yeah? So fasting, of course, means giving up things that we normally do. Some people give up meat or alcohol or social media. It can be just about anything, but it's this practice that goes all the way back to the beginnings of the church and even before that in some ways, of giving things up. Now, why would we do that? Why would we fast? First, let's say why we would not do it, okay? What is fasting not? Fasting is not a way to pay for our sins. We don't give up things to try to prove to God that we're sorry. We don't give up things to try to earn forgiveness or to earn our salvation. We believe that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't have to earn his love. It's freely available. It's given. We also don't fast because we're trying to make God do stuff. Sometimes we'll try to get into these bargains with God where it's like, okay, God, if I do this stuff, then you'll do this other stuff for me, right? So I'm not going to eat for a week, and then you have to answer my prayer. It doesn't work like that. We trust that our Father delights to bless us, but he wants good things for us. And we don't always want good things for ourselves, or the things that we want for ourselves are not always so good, right? This gets at why we actually fast. We actually fast because our hearts desire many, many things that are not at all good for us, and our lives tend to fill up with habits and practices that are death to us, that are empty. And over time, they're destroying us like a cancer, just eating us up. Some of them are so powerful that they blow our lives apart, and there's no hiding it, and there's no getting away from it, right? And so we crash and we hit rock bottom and we have to deal with it or die. But some of them we can kind of live with. And so we just sort of go through our lives with these other weaker practices, habits is probably a better word, that are not good for us, that do not lead to life, but we just don't know quite how to stop. We don't know how to get away from them. Well, that could be a substance addiction, but it could also be an addiction to success seeking approval from other people. It could be a lot of things. The question is, where am I trying to find meaning in my life, and is it working? And the season of Lent is a grace to us. It's a blessing because every year it comes back around and says, hey, let's not wait until your life falls apart to deal with this stuff. Where are the things in your life that are eating you up, that are destroying you? You probably don't have, you're never going to want to deal with this stuff because you're addicted to all of it, right? But here's an opportunity with other people, with the church, to on purpose set aside the next 40 days, a little more than a month, to on purpose do things differently. To not do the things that we know are killing us, and instead to invest ourselves in things that are going to bring transformation in life. The things of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the gospel, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So whatever we give ourselves to ends up shaping us, who we are, who we think we are, and what we think we need. And so one of the remedies for all of our addictions is to actually practice our way to get new, better habits that point to what we really need, even when we don't want it yet. Like Jesus, his ways, his life, his truth. So that's the setup tonight, okay? We're going to do three things together. I'm not really going to preach much, but we're going to do three things, three activities. The first is an examine. I'm going to read a series of questions, And I would like for you to sit with them, trusting that God is at work among us, and see what he has to say to you. See what he opens up in your heart when I'm asking these questions. What work does he have for you to do? What place of freedom is he inviting you into in the next 40 days? So we're going to do that. I'm going to ask the questions. We're going to have some silence. You may want to write some stuff down. I'm going to ask quite a few questions. I don't expect you to respond to all of them, but just look for one or two things that you think God has business with you on, okay? When that's over, we're going to have the imposition of ashes. That's an invitation where we're all going to come forward row by row and kneel here up front, and we're going to come and we're going to put ashes on your forehead, if you'll let us, right here. And we will say the words, "Remember that you were dust, and to dust you will return. Repent and believe the good news." That may sound a little bit dark. It's a reminder that we're all going to die. But if anyone has ever been in a crisis situation, has been close to death, or lost someone that they've loved, you know how death has a way of revealing what actually matters, what's actually worth living for, and what you can let go, right? So it's that reminder. Let's live remembering our mortality, but also the ashes are going to be in the shape of a cross. And that is a reminder of your immortality, that you were made by a creator God who loves you and intends eternal, beautiful things for you, who even now in this life means to call you into what he is doing in the world and let you be a part of it. That's the destiny that you're invited into. And so we come and receive the ashes. It's an invitation to set aside the empty, meaningless things in our life and instead to embrace the things that we were made for, the things that God has for us. So as you come forward, whatever the questions raise in your heart, bring those and submit them to Jesus. After the imposition of ashes, we will have communion, where we come and receive bread and wine for those who are able to do that as a reminder, again, of Jesus' presence with us. And that if you wonder if you can trust him, if you wonder if his ways are really good, remember that he loved you enough to die for you, loved you enough to have his own body broken, and the bread and the wine are a physical manifestation. They show us his love. We're receiving his broken body and blood as a reminder that he loves you this much. So if you think you can't trust him, if you think, "I'm not sure he really knows what's best for me, I think I'm going to do it my way instead of his," look to the cross. Look to the bread and the wine. He loves you this much. You can trust him, even when his ways don't sound that good. Okay? One last thing, just a picture before we go into the questions. We're kind of like kids, right? My kids, several of them are here. You know, they know what they want. They want sugar. They want to stay up late. We're like that. We think we know what we want. But when we get the things that we want, they tend to destroy us. So God is the loving parent who's like, "Hey, actually, there are some other ways. They don't sound good, but if we do things his way, we will find that he is actually good." That's the deal. That's the invitation, to trust that Jesus' ways for us are life. Okay? So let's enter into a time of examine. Listen to these questions and see what God has for you. What gets you through the day? What do you feel like you need to get through the day? What do you believe that you cannot do without? Do you have socially acceptable addictions that are in control of you or in control of some part of your life? Friends, the truth is that Jesus Christ is the bread of heaven. He is what we actually need. Where is he inviting you? Where may he be inviting you to set aside any of the things he's brought to mind and to, instead of depending on that, whatever it is, to depend on him to get you through the day, to depend on him to be your daily bread? What would that look like practically tomorrow? Jesus invites you to depend on him. What would that look like?
Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. In other words, our habits have a way of shaping our souls. They teach us who we think we are, who we think we need to be, what we think we need. So how are your habits shaping you? It's not just a question of what we can get away with. It's a question of what the things we're doing are doing to us. God loves us. He wants better things. What are your habits? How are they shaping you? Are there places in your life where you are actively cultivating fear? Where you're growing it, like in a garden? Where you're growing resentment? Where you're investing in pride? Or a hard heart? A hard heart towards others? Your family? Friends? A hard heart towards God, even a hard heart towards yourself. What would be truly liberating to leave behind in the next 40 days? Sometimes instead of trying to feed our spirit's hunger for God with other things, we just try to silence that hunger. We have an emptiness inside of us that we're always trying to fill, but sometimes we just try to shut it up because we find that if we get still and quiet for very long, that fear and guilt and shame and anxiety and regret just come bubbling up. So we try to push them down with noise and busyness, with the car radio or a smartphone or food or opioids or Netflix or another project or another accomplishment or another relationship or a different relationship. But this is all just avoidance. When we do this, it leaves no room to hear from God or to heal or to grow or to actually deal with the things that we're hiding from. So friend, what are the practices of avoidance operating in your life right now? What are you using to try to hold back the dark? What are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of? What would it look like to give these things to Jesus instead of avoiding them? Trusting that He's ready to receive you in love and to bring healing and reconciliation in these places. That's really possible. What would it look like in the next 40 days? What would it look like tomorrow to take a step in that direction? See, that the ask here isn't to solve all your problems in a day or even in 40 days. It's just to take a step. Whatever God's showing you, it's to take a step, an intentional step. One step, then take another one. What is the first step? Whatever God has shown you through these questions, I invite you to bring to the table, and to bring into the season of Lent. Every day as you get up, you would remember it's Lent, and that it's an opportunity to repent and believe, to hand over things to God that you really don't need. It feels like you need them. It feels like you'll die without them. But giving them up is a death that leads to resurrection. And look to the cross again and again, time after time. Don't stop looking to the cross. As your evidence, this God, He really can be trusted. His ways really are good. Jesus, we submit all this to You. We've been given this season as a gift. You help us in this way. You've given us each other. You've given us community. We thank You for that. But Lord, we can do nothing apart from the power of your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, open the places that have been sealed. Give us the courage and hope to actually believe that we can hand these things over to you and be transformed. Come and fill up the empty places with yourself. You're what we've been looking for all along, with drugs and TV and everything. Give us the pure, clean water, Jesus, that we've been looking for, that is your life. We pray it in your powerful name, Lord Christ, trusting that it's your will. Amen.